Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrage. Quatt is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrage here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
Yes, and thank you, Dennis. You are listening to Quarters and Barra. We are brought to you by Tap Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tap Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. I am Glenn Quatermain, senior sports reporter with the West Australian. With me is Adrian Barrage, looking a little forlorn. Perth Football Club have lost their key player this year of West Coast Eagles, Channel 7 and Perth Football Club fame. Barra, how are you?
Yes, you've summed it up beautifully, my friend. We're going beautifully at the Mighty Demons, and then we've lost Charlie Constable for an extended period of time, maybe the season.
Syndesmosis. Dreaded syndesmosis.
I know, and at the moment, so I noticed the WA state team was out, you know, the Waffle state team. They're playing a game in Perth, and so we had Charlie Constable lined up there, Aaron Clark, our full forward, he's got an ankle. Sam Simpson from Geelong, he's got a hammy. Jack Avery, foot injury, so... Yeah, mate, that's footy, isn't it? You get all the best plans that you lay and everything sorts, looks good, and then bang.
That's footy, mate. It's a great leveller. All the best to Charlie and all any player is out there injured, actually. A great weekend, Barra. Some interesting results. Geelong still undefeated at the top of the ladder, but with some challenges. It's always a good weekend in which we honour those who lost their lives for our country, defending it, and to our current vets, men and women. And I thought we did a pretty bloody good job of it.
Oh, yeah. The Len Hall game here was spectacular.
I love the way they line up with the players side by side, both teams.
I know. Have you heard the story about Len Hall? The actual love story behind...
Yes.
Have you heard that?
You remind me.
I had never heard that. And obviously they picked Len Hall because he was a Gallipoli veteran, the last Gallipoli veteran in WA. He also fought with, what's his name, the famous Arabian.
So Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, Lawrence of Arabia. So he fought in Palestine with Lawrence of Arabia as well as being a machine gunner at Gallipoli. So he survived that. But there was this amazing story because he went to war at 16.
A lot of them did.
Can you believe that?
A lot of them did, mate. A lot of them lied about their age.
Lied about his age. So he's at the wharf at 16. I think it's 1915, right? And he's going to World War One. And remember those hats they used to wear, the Akubras with the, and they used to have the, was it an emu plume or something?
There's like, a feather, a light horseman used to wear that one.
So he was a light horseman.
Yep.
What was the plume? Was it an emu?
Not sure what it was from.
Emu feather or whatever it was. So he's at the wharf, right? This is no bull training, in Fremantle. And he gives his plume out of his hat, out of his Akubra, to a young girl that he sees. I think her name might have been Eunice or something like that. Because, you know, he's leaving for war. He may not be back. So I might as well, pretty girl, I'll give her this while before I leave. 3 years later, he comes back, right? Back to Western Australia.
And about 20 years older, probably.
Yeah, and he survived the war. Mm. So he survives Gallipoli. He survives Palestine fighting with
Lawrence of Arabia.
Lawrence of Arabia. No prisoners. Have you seen that movie, Lawrence of Arabia?
A long time ago. Yeah.
And who was the actor in that one too?
Peter O'Toole.
Mm. Remember, he's got the Shakes outfit on and no prisoners. You don't remember that? No.
It's coming back to you now, isn't it?
Anyway, so he's in the parade and this young girl from Western Australia comes up and goes, oh, excuse me, Mr. Hall, you gave this to me 3 years ago. I've still got it. How are you? And guess what?
They got married.
2 years later, married, kids. She only passed away in 1995. Mm. And that was the love story. Three years after he'd been away. Mm. Oh, what a
Always
story.
Always nice to start the podcast with a nice love story.
Yeah, that's right, from the war.
But of course, second game in, we had a draw, which provoked a lot of debate.
Stirred you up, mate,
well,
I noticed.
Well, why, you've come what's up with wrong a, with extra time in a home and away game?
You've come away with a very left of field
2 minutes.
Suggestion.
2 minutes.
Yeah, just explain to me, because I'll just say I would have thought that you need to have a result so the most of the debate was around let's have a result, right? Mm-hmm. And I think 90% of people said we'd like to have a result, mm-hmm. but not G Quartermain. Quartermain has decided.
Oh no! If it's 2 minutes, that's it. Then you have a draw after that. Yeah, I'm just thinking. So my point was, it's not going to affect the broadcasters because you can't prolong the game too long.
Thanks for looking after us too, mate.
Broadcasters pay a lot of money to make sure the game runs, mate.
It's not really at the forefront.
And they're
of the
also
public.
My employer. But I think the whole point was that game had so much in the last quarter, you know, in the dying moments. You had Langford missing, you had Majacek missing, you had Elliott, who'd been wonderful, taking the mark of the decade. All of those elements, and they still couldn't separate it. And people said, well, that's fine, you couldn't separate it. No, nonsense. We need another layer of drama. And 2 minutes, so no interchange. You toss the coin in case there's a win factor. It won't take a second. Toss the coin, you're off. Get into your 666 and off you go. Now, 2 minutes is a long time in footy, particularly when you're fatigued at the end of the game. So you'd think you'd get a result. But if you don't, that's fine. Just walk away.
Then you have a draw.
But it's just another layer of theatre. Why not? Why not?
I don't mind it, but it's just the fact that there's no result.
That's all right.
After extra time.
That's all right.
What made you think of no result?
Well, I didn't. It's not a no result. You're getting an extra 2 minutes. I think it would be unlikely. You see, with the 666, you can't just stack your back line. Mm-hmm. So the centre clearance would be, the next centre clearance is crucial. So I think that, you know, you'd more than likely get a result in those 2 minutes. But if you don't, well, you can't say you didn't try, Barra.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. Mm. But what I like about it is at least you know what's going to happen. So you can plan for it, train for it, all that sort of stuff.
I loved Brad Scott's commentary after the game on, got Kyle Langford out there and said, right, did you get your setup right? Yep. Did you get everything, your mental aspect right? Yep. Got everything right? Well, no problems then. Mm. You just didn't execute. I like that. It's telling all his teammates, no, we didn't do anything wrong here. It's just sometimes it doesn't work. But as long as you stay with your routine.
Always good when the coach doesn't shit can you. That's for sure. But still, you go to bed, you wouldn't be able to sleep because, you know, you could have won the game on Anzac Day.
Well, Majacek would be thinking the same thing. Jamie Elliott would be thinking, although he was
not
deep.
Not as much as Kyle.
So I think
he would have won the game.
There's no question about it.
So I like what you're doing, but I would say, so it's 3 minutes each way now, isn't it, for finals and stuff?
Yep.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you just go with 3 minutes each way like the finals? Why would you have a separate 2 minute four.
Bit too long for the broadcasters. So in finals, you're not.
Not too long in finals?
Well, you generally don't have back to back, do you? Sometimes you do in preceding finals. Certainly not in a grand final, you don't.
But and should it be different from the finals?
I think the way it's so. Yeah, that's okay.
Like
and now
a special
people have
home
thrown
away
up
thing.
All sorts of arguments like the extra percentage you get for that. That might,
yeah, all the left of field.
There's a lot of stuff.
Kooks have come
you
out.
Know, but. I just think it's worth considering. Why not have it a bit different for
the finals?
No, that's
right. It was a good talking point. Mm. 3 minutes each way is what happens in the finals.
Yep.
So probably you need to. If you're going to go extra time, adopt that. My view would be, if it was up to me, I would have just gone with golden goal.
Yeah.
Not golden point, like in soccer and everything else. Yeah. Or
golden
other
goal's
games.
Not bad. I thought about golden point. I don't like penalty. I don't like shootouts or golden. I don't know.
It's not a shootout. It's the first one to score after that period. So, but
because 2 minutes, because I reckon I just reckon the centre clearance, it gives the other team an opportunity to fight back with the two.
But then you do get the old, but they had the wind and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So,
that's
you
why
know,
you toss the coin, mate.
I'm not trying to, you know, run down your idea. But the golden point, because points aren't rated in footy, are they? Points are like you've missed, you're a loser. So you can't really win for a point.
Well, he drew the game.
Yeah, but it's not. You're really trying to kick goals,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah.
So maybe golden goal would be cool. First one to score a goal wins the game. But it should be 3 minutes each way, I suppose. But it should change. Surely it's gold because it's like dancing with your sister, isn't it?
It's flat.
You know, afterwards you go, when you dance with your sister, this is.
And
can I just?
So finals I think was early '90s, and it was the grand final was a bit later. And it's great that they have. I was at 77. Collingwood, North Melbourne, and it was the draw, and it was the first grand final I ever attended. So I'm 11. I still feel ripped off all these years later. I remember turning
to... Who were you supporting?
I didn't have a team. I was Hawthorn. So I was in the Hawthorn cheer squad.
They didn't play in 77.
No, we were in the preliminary final. But what happens is you get tickets anyway if you go in a ballot.
Yeah, so why did you feel ripped off? Your team wasn't in it?
Because it was my first grand final. I was really excited for the game. And it was a great game. Twiggy Dunn takes the mark and, you know, late. which is I was pretty close to that, leaning over the fence, banging on it. And
yeah. Did
I
you get to come back for this replay?
No, I didn't. But yeah. Because it's hard to get a ticket. But I felt I turned to someone next to him. It might have been my brother. I turned and said, "Oh, what's happened?" "Well, it's a draw." "Well, but what do you mean?" "Do I see the cup?" No. It's all over." I just felt like I felt really flat.
Yeah,
and
see,
I remember the train trip home on the old Belgrave Lilydale line, platform 10 at Richmond Station. And I remember going home and everyone on the train, it was silence. Everyone didn't know what to do. And so I just, from that day on, I was sort of.
I think you've answered your own question. Yeah, the innocent young Glenn has answered the question. You need a result.
Mm, you do.
Because it's crazy otherwise. Mm. I mean, it's only really cricket where you don't get result. Every other sport, you get a result, don't you?
Well, I was at the underarm too, except I left early because it was hot to jump off
the underarm.
You remember that? I left early that day to jump off the Princess Bridge because it was about 38 degrees. I missed the underarm.
What was the result in the underarm?
Well, Australia won because they couldn't.
Yeah, it wasn't
New Zealand
a draw.
Needed a six off the last ball.
Oh, so you reckon, you're just saying because he cheated by bowling underarm.
That's
and then
right.
They changed the rules.
Against the spirit.
And all the rules do change.
Didn't actually cheat because it was within the rules, but it was against the spirit of the game.
Yeah.
But we digress. But let's talk about Freo. I thought it was a good win, Barra. I thought it was a high-intensity game. I thought it was a tough game. Both players had key outs. I thought Waitman was huge for the Dogs because he gets at the feet of those talls. I thought that Fremantle did really well to adjust when they lost Draper, given that they had, the three talls down there, the Western Bulldogs. So I thought it was a really good win. I've got to say, I mean, Amos comes straight back in. I think he's back in this week, Barra. But I thought they looked really good with Voss up front. And game from Josh. Well, you've got to replace him with Amos, really. I mean,
You can't keep Voss.
No, you can't, which is unfortunate because I thought he's really good. I thought he did exactly
so
what
he's... So it's the old, geez, you did well. Sorry, yeah.
Well,
going
the
back
same,
to Peel.
Maybe
back to
the
Peel,
same
mate.
With Cooper Simpson, mate, because Switkowski...
No, they'll keep him. They've got to keep him.
Well,
he's part of their... That's
going
that's,
forward.
That's,
yeah.
That's how they've changed up.
Well,
their
someone
game.
Else comes out then because Switkowski comes back in. So by
maybe
the
they rest
things,
Walters.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Mate, seriously, because that Simpson, he's the future. His pace was that is what they need.
But can't talk about that game without talking about Fife and Sarong and Brayshaw for that matter. All three were great, but Fife 37.
Who was your best on ground?
Well, you go with Sarong, mate. 17 clearances. I think he got the three.
Fremantle record.
I thought Fife got the two. I'd give one to Tracy. I think three goals.
Yeah.
And
well, the coaches were split, weren't they? Because they both got 9 votes.
Yeah.
Caleb got 9 and so did
Fife. I'm going Sarong just on the clearances, but geez, Fife was good. And
he's changed his game too. You know what? He's very clever. Remember Dennis Lee used to be outright quick.
Yeah.
Just
and
express.
Then he's back.
And
then
he's
his
changed
back.
His game, used guile. Fife's done the same thing because he's lost pace, no doubt. His kicking's not super. So now he's brought in the handballs and even underground handballs and not taking on the opposition anymore, getting hurt.
Well,
so,
he's the extractor, isn't he? He gets the ball out.
But he handballs it. He doesn't try to break tackles.
Handballs
and
a lot.
I hadn't seen him do it that much. And so 37 possessions, 15 disposals at quarter time, 8 score involvements by the main break. He was maybe he was best on ground. Caleb, 17 clearances, Fremantle record.
Mm.
And your man, Bailey Banfield, got up
in
the great
end, effort.
Turned the corner.
Yep, and owed him a couple. To be quite frank, because he'd missed a couple of the previous 2 weeks. But fair, you know the great thing
they
about...
stuck with him.
Yeah, the good thing about his game, he went back at some stage. He and O'Meara were playing in defence at some stage. And then he swings forward and kicks 3-2 in the last quarter. You know, we're pivotal. So well done to Bailey Banfield.
Hey, there's one thing I did also, well said, wanted to mention was I don't think Luke Jackson is playing as well as the second banana.
Mm-hmm. So play him up on a wing.
I think they've still got a problem.
Play him on a wing, mate. I've been saying it for 2 years.
Do you think the same thing, that they're not getting the best out of him?
I think it's been a couple of weeks. I want to see more
evidence.
Yeah, but yeah, look, yes. But I think they got the job done at the weekend, okay? And he still plays an important role down there.
They got the job done without Libba, and they also lost that...
Waitman. Libba and Waitman.
Yeah.
So,
and Waitman, he would have been big.
Libba was a big out before the game. That's worth... Glad you mentioned that.
So I just wonder about that whole Jackson thing. He doesn't look comfortable. He kicked 2 goals, but he just doesn't look comfortable not being the main man.
Yeah, but you can play it. You can get him in the play other than... I mean, Darcy's the ruckman. Darcy's the ruckman. He did a pretty good job.
Should they trade Darcy?
No. But that's to...
Get Liam Baker.
I think that Jackson can work. I think he...
But it's not if they can work. Could they have a better option? Like, could they get Liam Baker? Could they get Sam Taylor? Could they get... Who do they need? They need another midfielder, really, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know. I reckon
because Fifey's going to drop off the perch.
See, they're forward. I reckon they're okay. Maybe in
or a forward
defender.
Could they get Logan McDonald?
They won't get Logan.
If you had a chance, if you had a chance to get Logan McDonald,
yes,
for Sean Darcy.
Well, let's see. I reckon their forward line's going to be okay as it is. They've got what? Tracy's 21. What's Amos? 20.
Yep, maybe
19.
Yeah.
I mean, they're young, mate, and they're going to be good players. So I reckon their forward line's going okay. They've got Cooper Simpson, who'll eventually be a mid.
But if Jackson goes into the ruck because Darcy's gone, then you have got a spot.
What's wrong with Jackson on a wing?
Yeah, I reckon they should.
Lissav's played on a wing.
He played a bit as a midfielder. Maybe they should try that. But so are you saying that if you could get Logan for Darcy, you wouldn't do it?
At the moment, I think Darcy, they need him as first ruck. I still think he's the first ruck.
Do you?
Yep.
Mm.
I think you be careful what you wish for. Because you get Darcy out of the frame. Yeah, but Jackson is evolving, mate. He's only young. Remember, he's 21, 22.
Yeah.
So,
but do you want him to evolve into a ruckman or into a forward?
Oh, I don't know. He knows what he wants to be yet. I think he's more of a hybrid player. I don't think he'll ever be one thing.
I think he's better around the ball because you don't have to be, how shall I put
extra
this?
Extra mid, mate.
No, hang on. How shall I put you? You don't have to have a huge footy IQ.
I think he's got a pretty good footy IQ.
To play around the ball.
Oh,
whereas
really?
In the forward line, you do have to have a very strong footy IQ. And you have to understand where your leading patterns are and all that sort of stuff. I'm not sure that he's big on the leading patterns.
Mm.
But I'm not having a crack at him. I reckon he's super. But he's just been, since Darcy's come back, he hasn't been the same player.
Okay.
So, anyway.
West Coast, third quarter, really. That was the story, wasn't it? And that's when Raoul and Anderson and Tuke Miller got to work on the back of Jared Witt's hit-out dominance. I thought they missed Harley Reid, Barra. Obviously, Elliot Yeo was sort of fighting a bit of a lone battle in terms of that inside bull in the midfield. But, you know, he was rested. Well done to Jake Waterman. Continues another four at the weekend. So they're sort of giving the Coleman a silly little shake, isn't he? I mean, there's other players up there, of course. But
what happens when Oscar Allen comes back?
Well, they look a lot better, don't they?
Do they?
Well, hopefully he comes back this year. But, I mean, he's still a fair way off.
They obviously keep Waterman because he's on fire.
Clearly.
JD comes under the pump, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yes. Yeah. Yes, he wants to. I thought he had a crack at the weekend, but, mate, you know, I mean, he's kicked two, but, yeah, I mean, gives away some silly free kicks too.
Yeah, they got spanked in every area when you look at the stats.
Third quarter they did.
32 fewer inside 50s.
Just
repeat that.
32. Yeah, I know.
32.
I know. 32. I wrote some analysis on the game and
lost the clearance count by 17.
Yeah.
Lost the clearance count. Lost the contested possessions by 37. Lost the disposals by 46. And the ruck, poor old Bailey Williams, mate, he got absolutely pants.
Oh, get back as soon as you can, Matt.
I think Witsy got the 10 votes.
Yeah, he played well.
I wonder if that makes him think, we've got to get Tim English over here.
They've got Matt Flynn, mate. So, I mean, yeah, well, he'd be pretty handy. Extra midfielder too, because he plays like a mid, Tim English. Mm.
Problem is they have got Flynn, so maybe they wouldn't waste their everything on
Tim English. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in that space, actually.
Where he goes. Because you reckon he won't stay? Because that Sam Darcy's coming, isn't he? That Sam Darcy's coming for Tim English. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you don't rate him?
Tim's All-Australian
ruckman. Did you see him play?
Tim English was the All-Australian ruckman last year, so don't write him off just yet.
Not write him off. I'm saying, how good's that Darcy kid?
He's a good player.
Mate, super.
Mm.
Maybe you should get him. Oh, his old man wouldn't be too happy.
No, he won't be leaving.
His old man commentating was funny.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I thought he did a pretty good job. Did he cop some criticism over that?
Oh, mate, he was trying to give him tips from the box.
Yeah.
He's got to get back off the mark a bit more. I've told him that.
Hang on, is that not good TV?
I don't know,
it's good TV.
Sounds a bit nepotistic
to me, if that's a word. What's he meant to say? He's a special comments man.
Mate, the nepotism in football is unbelievable.
Well, is he meant to not have? He's not his kid anymore because he's playing.
Well, maybe don't do those games.
Oh, come
like
on,
Eddie
mate.
Doing the Collingwood games.
Barra, what? It's a bit of theatre, mate. You know,
Eddie doing the Collingwood games was not theatre. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then he went to do the
Collingwood one,
the bias one.
Yeah,
just barracking. Okay, so Harley Reid's back. I noticed in the paper today he's back at the airport.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
We got an email on to Harley, so I'll read it out. I'll read it out when we get round to that.
You know what makes me laugh is social media has created this whole sort of, you know, there's always stories. If there's a vacuum or not an explanation that people understand or can believe, like Harley's getting rested because okay, they're going to the longest trip in the AFL, and then they've got a 6-day break to the Bombers game, and really we'd rather have him in the Bombers game. He's feeling a bit sore, and the Bombers game is going to be 60,000, and then they've got Collingwood the week after. He wants to play in both those games. No, that's not a good enough explanation. So you hear all sorts of stuff, don't you? You know, oh, how come he's flying back home then if you don't want him to fly? Well, he's flying back home. Has there been a bust up somewhere? Has there been a posting of a photo? You know, like all this stuff, people ringing us up and going, no, he's just injured.
He's just, well, not injured. He's being rested.
He's sore.
There were some flags.
His testing
he was flagging,
has shown
apparently.
That he's flagging. And we've seen Raoul destroyed. He was after five rounds in his first
I
ever year.
I still would have liked to have seen him go up to the Gold Coast, get that experience, the long flight, playing against them, the humidity. I would still would have liked to have seen him play in that.
Maybe so disregard what happened to the last really good first-year player.
Well, how do you know that's going to happen?
How do you know it's not going to happen, mate?
Yeah,
because it happened to Raoul. I've got more evidence than you, my friend.
Harley, mate?
Well, mate, they played both inside because they're inside players. There's a whole. It's different from Sheasel or Dacos.
I agree with that.
They don't play inside.
No, I agree with that.
Harley goes inside. So let me tell you about Yeo. 19 disposals, 18 of them contested.
Yeah.
So he had to do all the work. So he would have shared it with Harley. What happened to Raoul? He stayed five games.
Shoulder, yeah.
He was third in leading, third betting on the Brownlow in his first ever year. Destroyed. Got destroyed in round six. Most of the year, Gonski, then did his knee. So I reckon I'm applauding West Coast to have the courage to do that.
Okay. Just a question without notice on Yeo. So his contract's up the end of the year. There's a bit of speculation around him. What do they do? Like, he's been offered, what, a couple of years? There are other clubs sniffing around.
It's tricky, isn't
it? If you could get some trade value for Elliott, would you? Or, I mean, he's obviously in All-Australian side right now, right? He's playing. He's had a really good start to the year. You take him out really hard for Harley, so.
Such a hard discussion, isn't it? Because I think Harley would be saying, you're going to what? Do not trade Elliott Yeo. So that's going to weigh heavily on him.
Yep.
Because he's his mentor, his role model, his partner in crime. You know, it's Batman and Robin. Plus, he's playing so well. You know, like, there must be hard the negotiations because they're going, look, mate, we can only give you this, Elliott. But I'm on fire and I've missed all these games. It's his 200th game this week. 200th career game this week.
He's done really well to get back to the level he's at, given the injuries he's had.
Where do you trade him? That's a good question. I'd like to hear from people about that. Would you trade Elliott Yeo at the end of the year?
Grumpy Ross is back, but with a bit of sugar on top. So Port Adelaide got the job done, 10 points. I'll tell you what, watching that game, Barrett, it was excruciating in that first half. It was trying to get a handball out. It was so tight and congested. The pressure rating was through the roof. 10-point win to Port. And my man Willem Drew got the medal. I love Willem Drew. Very underrated player. But it brings us to the point of the Jack Higgins tackle. So tribunal tonight, 3 weeks, which I think he deserves a punishment. The only concern I have here, Barra, is that with the Alirelir contributing factor, so it goes to kick the ball, sort of contributes to the acceleration, if you like. I thought there was enough in the tackle for Higgins to go, and he will, because his head, Alirelir's head's hit the turf. But with the kicking, what concerns me, is there anything in this MRO and the grading to take into account a contributing factor?
No, there's not.
Yeah.
So it's three or off.
Which is strange,
it's ridiculous, isn't it? Because Alirelir did try to kick the ball. So if he hadn't have tried to kick the ball, he wouldn't have been slammed like that. I'm not sure what else Higgins, I mean, he could have bailed.
Oh, no, it was the wrong, mate. It was the
he
wrong
had his
tackle.
Arm, but he had his arm.
Yeah.
He was holding his arm.
Yeah, he was.
You wouldn't have thought that he'd come flying into the ground. Like, it's not like he went up and went slung him into the ground.
Yeah,
he
I reckon there was enough in the tackle for a penalty.
I'd give him a week because of the concussion thing. But 3 weeks, it's huge, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It's a huge penalty.
I think if he gets a week, there's a lot of players out there saying, well, you know, who've got more. But what did you think of the Mabee Achol penalty, the 1 week for the pay? I thought it was, by the way, I thought he probably should have got two for stupidity for the free kick he gave away on quarter time when Hardwick kicks the goal. But I think the AFL don't like that. I think that's fair enough. They don't like the behind the play stuff and, you know, stop doing
it. No, I'm with you. Just before you move on, where two for St Kilda? Because 2-5 now.
Yeah.
And against a depleted...
Been very competitive, haven't they?
Very depleted Port Adelaide. So no Alirelir. Sam Paupepa did his knee, the poor bugger. Yep. ACL out
Rosie
for the season.
Rosie out for a lot of the game.
And Rosie had the hammy. they've got the big showdown coming up, so that's going to be bloody interesting tip for you as well.
Oh, this week's a nightmare. We'll get there in a sec, mate. Actually, it's a good time as we're going through the games. The game tipping this week, Barra, the weekly winner was Brett Stewart, 9 correct, the margin of 1. Overall leader, Chris Shepherd, 47 in total. Well done. But coming like a steam train.
You've gone past me.
Hang on. What's that in the rear vision mirror, Barra? I think it's a brown and gold grill. It might be me. Actually, not in the rear vision mirror. You're in mine now. So I got 9. I got the card. 43 for me. You got 8. 42.
I tipped Carlton, eh? Mm. Jeez, I tell you what, that was a big clash.
Yeah, it was
a great game. And I thought the Blues had him and they was charging and then they came again at the end. And then Vossi blew up. So he wasn't very happy, Vossi, was he?
Had to.
Do you think so?
Well, he had to, mate, because they're at a stage now, Carlton, where they're challenging and it's, can you be happy with a loss? No, you can't. Their defence is the problem for them. By the way, well done to Geelong, undefeated. Chris Scott, mate, 69% win record. Is he now, does he have claims to be the coach of the modern era? I mean, they've won a couple of flags. Oh, he's very good coach.
I think they're recruiting blokes, are.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
How do they
keep
on up?
Stephen Wells, yeah.
And Stewart wasn't even playing. Cripps was magnificent.
So Jeremy.
Sam Walsh was prolific.
Jeremy Cameron kicks 5 goals, right? Gee, he's a good kick. He's not just a good kick for goals, he's a good field kick as well, Cameron. But and they're so accurate, Geelong. But you look at that forward line, mate. You've got Hawkins and Ollie
did
Henry.
Bugger all.
Ollie Henry's their most targeted forward now. So you talk about transitions at Geelong.
Yeah.
Henry, Cameron, and then you've got Stengel at their feet. So pretty impressive in attack, and we know how well set up. No Tom Stewart either, so it's a
no,
pretty
I mentioned
win.
That. And Tom Hawkins went without a goal 3rd week in a row, and they still bloody won.
Yep.
And that Grian Myers, he's the man, isn't he? Is he the man or not? Sam Guthrie was
Stengel
good
as well.
And they lost Patrick Dangerfield during the game. Hawkins goes goalless, Carlton are coming, Cripps is on fire, Walsh is on fire, and we still win.
Didn't get the job done.
We're still on top. They're not going to miss the 8, by the way, my friend.
I think you might be right, Barra. Hey, just a couple of other things.
You're reneging on
Brisbane,
your
done?
No, not
really?
Yet.
Really?
Well,
they've got a pretty good draw
four.
Coming up, actually.
Yeah, they've got a good run now.
Hey, no
big game this weekend.
No certainties to beat in the Q class.
I reckon they're a living certainty to beat the Gold Coast.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
And that'll be 4 games in a row. They might win 4 in a row, I reckon.
Yeah.
But I don't think they can make top 4. And you could see Fagan.
So therefore they can't win it?
Well, most odds are. It hasn't happened
very
often.
Hard outside Melbourne.
Cam Rayner came in for a bit of criticism. Hugh McCluggage as well. Yeah, I don't know. I think they'll be back, mate. I think they might turn the corner this week.
Okay.
You can't be that good, can you, and make the grand final within a kick.
Now, a couple of other things I just wanted to mention. The small forwards, mate. I want to mention one at GWS, Darcy Jones, kicks a couple of goals.
So good.
And what about the kid at Gold Coast from the academy, Jake Rogers? Now, I think Gold Coast had the points. I think Sydney picked him at 14 in the draft and Gold Coast match it. Well, I could see why at the weekend. What a player.
He was. Yeah, those academies, it's a bit of a lurk, mate.
Yeah.
Father and son for Geelong and the academies for, obviously, the northern states. I mean, when is Fremantle going to get a break? Or, I mean, West Coast probably don't need a break. They've got 4 flags. But why doesn't Fremantle get some special allowances like they do?
That's a good point.
They just load up. Darcy Jones. Did I tell that story about Darcy Jones and how he idolised Nat Nui?
No.
And so I went to interview him in the lead up to the draft because he's diminutive, like he's 175, right?
Yep.
And I'm thinking, and he did his ACL last year. So he's come back from the ACL, pace still there, wearing that orange and charcoal helmet. Mm. Yeah, good did it look.
Yeah.
He's going to be an icon of the team.
Oh, yeah.
And he kicked 2 goals. But when I went to interview him, he said to me, he was down at Bassendean, he said, I'm from, you know, I live in Kalamunda, but I'm a big Swan Districts boy, you know, played in the Colts. He might even play a senior game, I don't know, Rezzies, whatever. And he said, but Nick Nat's my hero. I go, really? Okay. Because, you know, Nick works for us. So
similar players.
So I ring up Nick. Yeah. I go, Nick, mate, where are you? Oh, yeah. Because, you know, he lives in Mount Lawley. Yeah. There's a young fella here called Darcy Jones. He idolises. He's got your poster on his wall still. And he's about to get drafted. He goes, I'll be right there. So then Nick comes down 201 centimetres.
Where to?
down to Bassendean Oval. It was an oval close by to meet the 175-centimetre Darcy Jones. It was bloody funny.
Probably Jubilee Reserve, mate, I'd say, just down the road there.
It was like twins. And you should have heard Darcy, oh, g'day, Nick. How are you, mate? It's really great to meet you. Can I have a photo? And now he's an icon, and yeah. Nick's retired.
Good on him.
The wheel turns quickly.
Now, what we should mention, the retirement of Rory Sloane, 16 years in the game, a good decision. Barra has had the detached retina. I think he's had six surgeries on the eye. And really interesting, he was coming back through the Sandford a couple of weeks ago.
Mm.
That was the Monday. He said, yep, I'm right, here we go. He gets to the Wednesday and thinks, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? So just too great a risk, I think, for the future of his vision. Mm. So
brave
I think
decision.
It is. And there've been, this is three brave decisions this year of players retiring for their own health and, you know.
It's changing, isn't it?
Looking into the future.
Players are changing.
I'll remember Rory Sloane as just a workhorse. And obviously he was elite.
Blonde, great looking.
Yeah.
In and under.
Blonde, yeah, in and under. Worked hard at the coalface.
So he's doing a lap of honour at the showdown.
Yep.
So what effect will that have on the Crows? Will that lift them? And Port are going to be undermanned.
With their outs there, a sneaky chance.
Crows home game.
They beat up on North Melbourne, which is always going to happen.
You know who's going to come in, don't you?
From Rankine,
for the Crows. Too. You know who's coming in?
Who comes in?
Our man. Daniel Curtin,
good.
I believe.
Good.
Will make his debut.
In a showdown.
He had 31.
Debut in a showdown.
He had 31 on the weekend in the Sandford.
Yep.
31. And he still hasn't been played.
Might be a debutant here too. Clay Hall. Big talk about Clay Hall this week too.
Who's he coming for though? Because Harley's got to come in. And so does Barras.
Mm.
Who are you dropping? Edwards?
Yeah, possibly. He didn't get a lot of. Well, Chesser maybe.
Chesser?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Looks all right when he gets the footy, Chesser.
He didn't kill it.
Most of the time he looks all right, but just doesn't get enough of it.
The Crows, you're right about Rankine. Is it Rankine or Rankine? Can we work out, is it Rankine or Rankine? Does anyone know?
Oh, you say potato, I say potato. It's
tomato,
fine.
Tomato, yeah. Potato. Rory Laird was super too.
Yeah.
But Taylor Walker, two goals. Mm. I'm looking forward to that because that Bloodstone Arena, honestly.
Bloodstone?
The Crows. Yeah, that's, you know, where the Crows played.
Hobart,
They played the Roos. Mate, how bad are the Roos going?
Yeah.
What's happened there?
You haven't mentioned my boys yet. How pathetic was Hawthorn?
I know.
But, you know, the stats. It was interesting. Hawthorn... You know, it got pretty close with a lot of the stats, inside 50s, contested ball, and just got spanked. So just can't kick a score, Hawthorn. That's the problem. Mitch Lewis laid out, no good.
Oh, yeah. Did you see him storm out there, Sam Mitchell?
Yeah, with the Scrimshaw.
Yeah. What'd you think of that?
That's all right. You're a coach. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah. Apparently Scrimshaw has...
Might have been 20... odd others who probably deserve it too.
But the way they do it now is that they prepare the players for that sort of robust discussion.
Why do you have to prepare someone for a robust discussion?
Well, because, you know, you might drop your bundle or mental health. And so nowadays you've got to prepare them. So, in the lead
I'm
up to the season.
I'm about to spray you.
No, you get to the lead up. You go, like, during the games, if it gets really bad and you play bad, I might come out and give you a spray.
Mm.
Okay, so what that'd be like? This will be like this. That's a disgraceful effort by you. I can't believe you did that. You know, brutal.
So they rehearse it.
Brutal truth. And then afterwards you have to ease them out of it as well. So you need to go and speak to your player and say, listen, you know when I had a crack at you, you understand what it's about, don't you?
Kiss.
Yeah,
theory.
Yeah. And you know what? I know old stories aren't...
I think
people
old
love
stories
the
are good.
There was a game, the Eagles won the flag 92, right?
Apparently, yeah.
The turning point.
Yeah.
You
were dropped in the prelim, weren't you?
No, that was 91.
Oh, 91, that's right.
92, I had glandular fever. But 91, and 92 I played in round six. Actually, it's not about me. So it's about this round seven game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Round seven, we go down to Tasmania.
Oh, play Fitzroy, famous. You hadn't caught the flight back with him.
Yes, and we'd lost. And guess who was playing for Fitzroy?
Ross Lyon.
Yes, and guess who was doing most of the sledging and stirring on the plane?
On the plane?
Mate, they're drinking.
What was he saying
they're
on
going
the plane?
Nuts. Fitzroy's beaten the Eagles in Tasmania. How do you reckon he's going? You could hear him dropping, you know, shit cannoners from the back, just dropping in
the
lines.
Did anyone ring him at the end of the season when they got the silverware? So thanks for helping us.
I think all the boys reminded him of it a bit later on,
But turning point.
But it was a turning point. He helped us. Thank you, Ross. He helped us.
Well, that's when there was a bit of a truth-telling, wasn't there, after that
Yeah, well, that's
game?
What I was going to say. So after the match, it was Mulder said, righto, you blokes, that's a disgrace. You're big heads. You know, you thought you should have won in 91. You haven't come to grips with where you're at. Get in the room there and sort it out. Without you, Mick, yes, go and sort it out between yourselves. And they went in there, and blokes, because you know blokes, when they're given license to unload,
they just
unload, and anyone who played badly just totally copped it. Mm. And guess what? Fisticuffs.
Oh, okay.
Is that what they call them? Fisticuffs?
Yeah, yeah.
There was a few blokes of a bunch of fives. Mm-hmm. Like there was violence in the room. Very brutal talk as well. And then on the plane, getting shit canned by Fitzroy all the way home. And that was it. That's it. We're not going back there.
Speaking of fisticuffs, you had a bit of a chat, bumped into Lomachenko yesterday at the airport, who's coming over here to fight Kambosos Jr.
Mate, did you know about this bloke, Vasily?
Yeah.
Mate, Ukrainian.
Yeah.
A lot of Ukrainian
people. Unified title, lightweight title. Yeah, they're fighting in Perth on Sunday week.
Yeah, one of the great fighters.
Yep. And it's going to be a great fight.
Fighting ferocious George Kambosos.
Yes.
I'm going. Me and Cuzzy, we're going.
Oh, yeah,
Greeny's
nice.
Got Green's mates, he's going. It's sold out, I think. Mm. I think it's going to be sold. It'll be massive, 15,000. The best, they're calling it the biggest fight.
Where is it?
It's at RAC Arena.
RAC, yeah.
Biggest
huge.
Fight in Australian history.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's big. It is big.
Is there another one we can
Yeah. Well, back Fennec. In the day, well, Fennec
and Zuma Nelson.
Zuma, Fennec, and don't forget the old Lester Ellis, Barry Michael days. They were great fights.
Lester Ellis, Barry
Master
Michael.
Master Blaster.
Are they up with... Yeah, I would.
Lester Ellis. But he's a world champion. Barry Michael took the world title off him.
No, I'm not.
They were great fights.
I'm not going to bag them. So anyway, this Vasily was brilliant.
A bloke called Lionel Rose went all right too back in the day.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, where did he fight fighting Harada? Was it here? It was over there, wasn't it?
I think it was in Japan. Yeah, because he took the title off Harada.
Yeah, fighting Harada.
Yeah. Tokyo,
he was
I
big.
Think.
I've told you my story about meeting him at the 91
Lionel.
Grand Final. What grand final was it, 91? 91 grand final.
Yep.
When he was out in the middle laughing at... Angry Anderson couldn't sing properly.
And the Batmobile,
And the earpiece fell out and Angry was going shit out.
Yeah.
And Lionel was going, have a look at Angry Anderson.
Is that what he said?
And Fennec was killing himself. But let me tell you about Vasily Lomachenko, Ukraine, one of the great... He decided not to fight for a while. Guess where he went?
Where?
Have a guess where he went.
To fight a war, no doubt, you're about to tell us.
He said, I went overseas to fight for my country. And I'm thinking, boxing? He goes, no, fight for my country. Against the Russians. I'm going, oh, jeez. So I didn't want to go down that path.
No.
But Al got stuck too. You'll love this bit. So I'm at the airport. I lob. Fox is there, right? Because it's a main event thing. But there's no journo. So they go, Barrett, you're going to have to interview Vasily Lomachenko. I'm going, oh, really? And I knew bugger all about Vasily, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm asking the Ukrainian people, can he speak English? What does he like to do? Just Googling him up. Geez, he's good. How good is this?
Yeah, he is good.
So he comes walking out.
He has Kambosos too.
Yeah,
don't worry.
They're small guys too because they're light featherweight or featherweights or lightweights. Anyway, he comes storming out and he sees all the lovely bloke, got a beard. He talks to all the Ukrainian
lovely
people.
Lovely bloke's got a beard.
He's got a beard. He's got, that's how I was spotting him. Yeah. I knew it was him. And so I'm going, there he is, get him. So he comes up and so I have to interview him and I say, Vasily. So I worked out how to pronounce it. Vasily. Welcome to Perth. So I'm the friggin' ambassador for Perth at this stage, right? And he goes, yes, it's nice to be here. And I say, what are you going to do while you're here, Vasily? He goes, I have heard the fishing is very good here. I'm going to fish a lot. I'm fishing.
Okay.
I think that was his go-to.
Where's he based? Do you know who he's training with?
I don't know. He's at Crown, but I think that was his go-to line because his English wasn't great. Fishing must work everywhere, wherever he goes in Canada. I'm fishing.
Is it Crown?
LA, fishing. Las Vegas, fishing. No fishing here, is our Vasily. Oh, something else. Gambling. Anyway, so I'm interviewing him, and Brett Benetti's there. You know that?
Oh, yeah, bro, I know Brett.
Yeah, he played
big
for Perth.
Boxing man.
Yeah, and he's whispering
UFC
stuff.
UFC man as well, yeah.
Yeah, whispering stuff in my ear, asking this, asking that. And I went pretty well, so I used a fishing grab on the news. But how's this? So later on, I come back to work, I'm telling everyone about Lomachenko being here and put on the news, all that stuff. So I'm going to have some lunch, boys. I'm going to Rhino and I'm going to Herdsman. Herdy's fresh, you know, where Harley Reid's got the contract.
Yep.
You know,
fills his trolley.
If I bump into Harley, I'll doorstop him, you know, track all those stupid gags. Yep. Like, yeah, if he's there, I'll just say, hang on, Carly, I'll just get a camera. And probably would, actually. You know, we did a story once on what was in Nick Natanui's...
Yeah, I remember it. Trolley.
Supermarket trolley. Mm-hmm. We actually did a story on that. Basil did it. The Lord Mayor did a story. Mm. What's in Nick Nate's trolley? People think we're not serious journos. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've got my steak, Baz. Anyway, so let me just finish that story. So I drive down there, right? I drive down to Herdsman's Fresh. Just down there. Have you been there?
I have.
Mate, it's spectacular.
Geez, have you got a contract there? Have you got
to... Mate, I need a contract there because, mate, it's quality, if you know what I mean. So I drive in.
If you get to fill your trolley, just give us a call, mate. I'll come along and help you. Just
And there's a little bloke there in a black T-shirt. He looks pretty tough on the phone. He's standing in the middle of the car park, right? Yeah. I nearly ran him over. Yeah. I nearly ran over Lomachenko.
Oh,
so I get in there. I was about to hit the horn, and then I realized it was him. Imagine if I'd horned Liam
Lomachenko. What's he doing standing? What's he doing standing in the...
Drop me.
What's he doing standing in the middle of the...
I don't know, mate. He's looking for a signal on his phone. I said, maybe he's on Ukraine bloody time or something. Anyway, so he's out, he's in the middle of the car park, and then he goes inside, and I park, and I'm sort of trying to duck around the corner, and he spots me, and he goes, hey, you, are you following me?
Is that what he said?
And I said, no, mate. I'm definitely... And he had these huge mates with him, like three really big blokes, like, you know, like minders. They're looking at you like, looking down at me like this, like I've done something wrong.
Austere. They've always got that look, haven't they?
That's right. I thought I was in trouble. And I said, no, 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 I'm just coming to buy some lunch. It's just a coincidence. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. And, mate, and he said, I'm staying at Crown. What are you doing here? Oh, they tell us good supermarket. I said, well, it's a few near closer
to
Crown.
He's gone a fair way.
But I reckon the Ukraine communities, they, he said, where's a good supermarket? And they've said,
there's a few.
Here in Innaloo. Anyway, I nearly killed Lomachenko accidentally.
Good segue with Harley. Now it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel mailbag.
Thank you to Thirsty Camel, our long-time sponsor. This week's special, Jack Daniel's 1 litre, only $74.99 a bottle. As always, Barry, we have a $50 gift voucher to give away. Thanks to Thirsty Camel. Get your questions in for Thursday and for next week, for that matter. Just get them in and keep them short to Quarters and Barra at wanews.com.au. Barra.
Yes, mate.
Someone's got a beef with us, and I'll read it out. Never let it be said that we don't read out criticism. This is a beef with the West Australian, not us particularly. Righto, lads, time for a whinge. When Harley Reid was drafted by West Coast, there was always going to be a WA media spotlight on him, and rightly so. However, Quarters, your newspaper went next level, and their obsession with Harley became cringeworthy, with daily headline features stopping just sort of what he had for breakfast. Well, we have got a history of looking what's in people's trolleys, as we just discussed, Barra. Friday's back page was too far, though. This page was intentionally left blank because Harley was rested. Was disrespectful to any other WA sporting news of the day. It's become a joke. There is more to West Australian sport than Harley Reid. From the fed up Pilbara peanut, that's Jared. Thanks for your email.
It was tongue-in-cheek. The whole thing was tongue-in-cheek.
Bit of tongue-in-cheek.
You took the P155 out of yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I didn't mind
having
that.
A bit of fun, mate.
That's what Australians do, that, don't they?
They do.
Self-deprecating.
They do.
And inside,
there, spread today.
And inside, there were stories on Harley.
Mm-hmm.
It was so that's how you know it was a piss take.
Yeah.
When you open up, it's actually in
there.
Yeah. So I didn't mind it.
But Jared's he's people talking titled about to his it. Opinion, and we read it out.
You got him coming in today.
Yeah, we
I
have.
Saw, yeah. Yep. Wearing those jeans they wear nowadays with the writing on it and stuff. Yeah, he's a pretty cool dude.
He's
going to get cooler too.
It's going to be interesting at the weekend. Be a big game.
Mm.
Essendon.
Zach Merritt.
One of the Brownlow favourites.
2 metre Peter.
Yeah.
Mate, it's, you know, the
got to sit someone on Merritt. Zay, good column from Xavier Ellis today. Yeah, they got to sit someone on him.
Who was he suggesting?
Oh, well, Yo's played two ways, but you don't want to sit Yo on anyone because he's playing too well. So I don't know, mate. We, you know.
So Xavier, on hang on, Xavier.
Give Harley some experience. Put him on him.
Xavier's written an article saying sit on
someone
him.
Sits on
but
Merritt.
Had no suggestion as to who it might be.
I don't know. He might have.
Did you actually read it?
Yeah, I did read it, yeah. But I've just
you
I've
didn't
got, a,
read it.
Got a memory like a goldfish.
You got the
no,
headline.
I read it. I've just got a memory like a goldfish. By the way, how do people know that goldfish have no memories? Just a question. Anyway, go on.
Well, I tell you what, you know that
they put little electrodes on its head or something, do they? And let
mate,
it swim
well, how
around.
How do they do that? Because speaking of that, in my column, which you don't read as well. Do you read anyone else's stuff?
I do read it every now and then.
Bullshit.
I do.
Where is it?
It's in the STM magazine.
At the front or in the middle?
No, it's near the front, I think.
Oh, you're gone.
No, I'm not.
Got him, yes. No, but I wrote in there about the attention span of humans now have been is reduced to 8 seconds.
Is that right?
Do you know that? They tested it. Microsoft tested it because of TikTok and all that sort of stuff. Young people now.
Sorry, what was your name again?
Yeah, that's right. That's something else you've got.
You know, when I was at high school, I had this mate, Rowan, and I went round to his house to, you know, play guitar and stuff, and he had this goldfish in his room, and the water level on this goldfish got slower and lower and lower as the months went by, until I got to the stage, I went into his room, the water was so low, this thing had to swim on its side to be submerged. I said, what are you doing?
Goldfish.
So I went and got some water and filled it up. I said, how lazy are you?
They have a filter or oxygen or...
Anyway, it was happy after that because I gave it some water.
He wasn't the one that got given to that eagle.
Who was the eagle that swallowed the goldfish? We'll have all sorts.
Who was that, by the way? I think he might have been a Channel 7 employee later
on.
Yeah, the boss here.
Oh, okay.
Really tough half-back flanker.
Really?
Remember him?
Okay.
That's not a euphemism.
Okay.
He was
I know
a
who you're talking
flanker.
About.
You know what I'm talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah, yeah, I do. I do.
He swallowed a goldfish.
Hey, guys, just noticing there is an increase in guys' heads hitting the ground in these dump tackles. I think the AFL needs to instruct umpires to call holding the ball a lot earlier, and it will surely reduce the possibility of this happening. I did see a player get swung around 3 times before dishing a handball on the weekend. No holding the ball called. AFL wake up. That's Chris from Mandurah. That's a really good point. A lot of talk, Barra, for players in the tackle to be more responsible as well, because there's a lot of players, as Dunkley told us at the weekend, that players are milking it and trying to get free kicks.
And so, you know what happened? You put your head down to try to get the free kick. And that's so dangerous. Mm. You could break your neck. That's how that fellow in rugby league broke his neck. He put his head down to try to milk it and actually broke his neck.
We had a caller on the other show I do at the weekend too who raised another good point, and that was that players aren't trying to kick the ball to get out of the tackle because they'll give away a free kick.
Yeah, they don't. They draw the tackle.
Yeah. So there's all sorts of...
Bring the tackle to you as long as you don't get caught holding the ball. Mm. Yeah, try to slip your arm up to get up near your neck.
So I think we'll get to the point where the player who's tackled, just as the player running with the flight of the footy, will have to, you know, look after himself as well, I think. We'll get to that point.
What do you think about the days of, you know, when you used to try to tackle someone and actually try to hurt them? What did you think about that?
I guess it was just the time, wasn't it? You were just in that
time.
Yeah,
but how did you think? Do you think that's good,
I was a
bad.
Bit more of a lover than a fighter, mate. I never really tried to put...
No, but even as a punter, even watching, would you like...
Back in the day, I've got to admit I did.
Yeah.
Because I used to go hoping for all in brawl, mate. Back in the day when I didn't know, when I was dumb and I didn't know enough about concussion and head trauma and...
So it's like the gladiators, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what it was.
It was.
And shirt fronts as well. Ping them.
You know, the other theory I have is that the crowd, a lot of people, they pent up frustration during the week, and the football is a release for them.
Yeah,
so they like to see a lot of aggression.
That's right, and you know what? That really helps with their mental health.
It does. Mm. Hey, listen.
And especially if someone pulls your coat and says, then you start learning a lesson. That's what, you know, I've got this theory about people not being called or fronted about stuff, and it permeates their life because they've never sort of...
Had to answer.
And if someone had answered to it at some stage, you would have gone, geez, I'm being a dick. I need to pull my head in. That guy... was going to... You don't you reckon?
Yeah, I do.
Do you reckon there's something in that?
Yeah, I do.
Lomachenko reckons too. I reckon.
Hey, Barra, by the way, I'm not a goldfish. I just remembered something. Harley Reid, we were going to investigate the signal, but we didn't see him play last weekend, so maybe it's a job for this week.
That's why I was going to Hurdy to find out. If he was there, I was going to ask him, mate, this... Because he does...
That's your job this week.
He does the Benny
Hill. The Swede one.
But like that, the Benny Hill with that.
Do you have a little signal?
Did I ever see
You didn't really have
I don't
have
know. I remember
those,
I stamped my feet one day when I got a free kick given against me.
Did you?
I actually stamped my feet like a kid.
Oh.
And they replayed it about 3 million times on all the shows.
Did they?
Stamping my feet up and down at the Eagles. And then someone said, I think it was whoever's commentating, Lou Richards probably back then.
But that
was a free kick, young Barrich.
Oh.
And I gave the signal as well once.
Did you?
I got that was replayed.
Oh, did you?
So when someone
the
kicked
old Rex Sommer, Hunt, Rex Hunt famously did
Sommer
that.
Kicked his 3 millionth goal,
and you did.
And I went behind and went.
Did you?
I don't think Mick thought it was very funny.
Why not?
Well, he told me.
Oh, did he? Don't do that, Barra.
Mate, don't be a smart ass. Just give them ammo.
Last one for now. High Quarters and Barra, it is now over a month since the Tasmanian state election. Is it time now for anyone to gird the loins and start work on the Hobart Stadium, Andrew? Good point. I don't know what's happening there. That's another one we'll investigate this week and we'll find out what's going on. You have been listening to Quarters and Barrow. We have been brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch. Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Barrow, I'm one ahead of you, but on Thursday we'll be back to give our tips. It is, I don't know if you've had a look, one of the toughest rounds I've seen in a long time. So looking forward to that. We will see you all, or talk to you all, on Thursday. Thanks for listening.